Welcome, True Believers, to, of course, True Believers, the MCU show here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Yes, I'm back. I'm Kyle. I'm back. I'm sorry if I look a little rough for those of you who may be watching on the YouTube channel. It's hard work escaping being the avatar of the IRS Egyptian god. It's not fun to escape. There's lots of audits, all kinds of stuff. I apologize for not being here last week. Kat and Kevin. Speaking of Mr. C. or Mr. Static Cat, whatever you want to call him, he is back once again because he is the man when it comes to Moon Knight.
What's up, everybody? What is up,
Mr. Cat? Thank you for helping fill in my absence last week.
My pleasure, brother. My pleasure.
Those Egyptian gods, not fun. You think they'd be some party animals, but just not so much.
Maybe 2,000 years ago they might have been, but nowadays
it's a lot of vengeance and bloodletting and mummifying. Go find some Asgardians. That's all I'm saying. So, if you want a party, go find some Asgardians.
So everyday life, you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. But of course, we are here to talk all things Moon Knight episode 4, The Tomb. But we got a lot of other things to cover. First and foremost, please go check out our True Believers Facebook page. We got all the latest news happening in the MCU, and there's a lot of it lately, including some non-MCU news that we're going to be getting to as well. But it's just been a fun time. Kat, I got to ask you, since I wasn't here for episode 3, I just want to throw out a couple quick thoughts here, bounce a couple quick things off of you. I think it's very interesting that they're trying to play up the strengths and weaknesses of Mark and Steven in that episode and trying to find a way for them to work together. I thought that was a big part of that third episode.
Yeah, cohabitation, man. They're trying to make them so that they become one person, like a couple of arcs in the comics. So they're trying to make it, they were different to begin with, and then, but a little more in this episode, like, but by the end of this episode, maybe we will work together, but we'll see.
And I also thought it was the best look we've had at the Moon Knight suit in action this whole series so far. The fight sequence in this was great when he jumps off the top of the display there and we get the Crescent Moon cape.
Crescent Moon coat. Yeah, buddy.
That was so awesome. Giddy. And it was some of the best use of the Moon Knight costume. So
yeah,
I very much enjoyed episode 3. I like some of the directions they were taking, but speaking of directions, yeah, wait till we get to episode 4. But first, some things have happened, Mr. Cat. And so without further ado,
it's time for Snit, Thwip, and Kapow. Let's get to some MCU news.
And boy, do we. Yeah, I know that last Kapow is. I should have told you the duck. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have told you the duck. So we have just a little bit of MCU news to talk about, Mr. Cat. Something I wasn't really expecting to dropped. We got our first look at Thor: Love and Thunder with the first trailer for it, and I'm all in, Cat. It had me as soon as Sweet Child of Mine started playing. I'm in. Taika is back. We got the Ragnarok feel, but we got a lot of Easter eggs in this. We got to see some Guardians. We get to see Thor getting back into shape. We see, of course, some great shots pulled right from the comics in this trailer. And, of course, the big coup de grace, Jane Foster's version of Thor at the end. Welding Mjolnir. It was beautiful, Cat.
A cracked
Mjolnir. Yes. It was beautiful, Cat. I'm all in. I love Chris Hemsworth as Thor, especially this kind of version of Thor with a little bit of comedy mixed in and playing it up. But what about you? I'm assuming this trailer grabbed you and pulled you right in.
Sweet Child of Mine, classic Guns N' Roses. I was like, ooh. And I started watching it. And everything pulled me. Like you said, it had some good funny parts, some good, you know, scenes that looked like can't wait to see that. But I think the best part of the whole trailer, besides seeing Jane Foster as Thor, was when Quill's talking to him, and he sort of pans into the screen. He's like looking at him. He's like, not me, dude. It's gonna be hilarious. I can't wait.
Cat, stop looking at me like that. I mean, I know you feel a little lost, but it's the people you love. No. Sorry, Cat. But no.
Where was Kevin again?
We need to explain that. Of course, Mr. Reitzel is not joining us this week. If you felt that disturbance in the multiverse, it is because Kevin has finally, after 2.5 years, reunited with his fiance, the lovely Erin Gill. It happened as of this recording about 24 hours ago. But it's happened. We're happy for Kevin. Of course, if you have been following on Facebook his adventures, those of you who are friends with him, you know that in what, 5 days, you will be there for the event of the early season.
Five days, 6 hours, and 47 minutes. Not that I'm counting.
Yeah, not that he's counting. Of course, that will be the long overdue wedding of Mr. Kevin Reitzel to the lovely Erin Gill. And of course, from all of the Fandom Podcast Network family, congratulations are in order to the two of our favorite people around here. Of course, Erin teaching us all the ways of scary movies. She's the one that makes us pull our hands down when the really bloody parts come up.
No, the bloody parts don't bother me. It's a jump scare I don't like.
Well, you know. Let's just say there's a lot of buckets of fake blood destined to be around the Reitzel household soon.
Yeah, I'm afraid to see what's going to happen when I come back to Santa Barbara next week and go over to the house.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. If you see like machetes and bladed gloves, you might want to just back away slowly. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
If you don't see me on week 6, you know why.
Yeah, this is true. It's a little scary, but yeah. Cat, Thor, Love and Thunder. I know Kevin even commented, I just have to throw this out here. As soon as he was the same as us, as soon as you heard the Guns N' Roses, he was in.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're not that far off from Doctor Strange. I want to throw something out real quick at you with Doctor Strange. If there's another podcast I listen to, it's called The Rewatchables. And they just recently did. Oh yeah, Shenanigans. I know that. But they recently did the original Spider-Man movie. And they brought up an interesting point, and I'm just kind of curious of your thought process on this. One of their segments in their show is Apex Mountain. Like, was it the Apex Mountain for this actor or whatever? And they said it was the Apex Mountain for Sam Raimi with the caveat Doctor Strange about to come out. Do you think Doctor Strange could end up being the Apex Mountain film for Sam Raimi?
I never thought of that. I mean, Spider-Man was good. It's going to be hard to top that for when it came out and what it was. This might be, though. I mean, it's this movie from the 4 or 5 trailers that we've seen looks absolutely amazing in all ways. I mean, even the potential scare factor, the action scenes, the just setting up, you know, all the characters. I mean, it just looks phenomenal. And this could very well be his, movie that people remember him instead of remembering Spider-Man. Because if you say Spider-Man, you're like, oh, Sam Raimi, you know, or, yeah. You know. But yeah, this could very well do it. I don't see why it wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued of what's going to happen with Multiverse of Madness, because I really do think it's going to set up the whole future of the MCU going forward. So
at least the magical aspect of the MCU, that's for sure.
I think a lot of other things with the MCU well. I think this is going to be huge. But we do have a second news story that came out not too long ago. Kat, we talked a little bit about this when we talked about Morbius. Have you seen Morbius? Because I still have not. Okay.
I'm probably honestly going to see it next Thursday because I'll be back in Santa Barbara and I will have some friends that I want to see, and my friends I'm going to be seeing are, well, movie nerds. We go to movies together. They haven't gone to the movies in quite some time due to COVID and, you know, being other places and me being here. And I said, yeah, let's go see a movie. They're like, okay, cool. What do you want to see? I'm like, I haven't got a clue. They're like, what about seeing Morbius? I'm like, okay.
You take the bullet for friendship.
I take the bullet for friendship, yeah. So I probably will see that on Thursday is my guess. And I'll let you know what happens shortly thereafter. You'll see a post on Facebook with me right after the movie's over, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. We're not sure what Sony's doing with the Spider-Man license at this point. Obviously, Tom Holland, they had success with Venom. Morbius not doing so well. I'm not so sure about Kraven the Hunter. And of course, one of the big things that was a big boost for Sony was, of course, the animated phenomenal film Into the Spider-Verse. I haven't actually asked you about this, Kat. Are you a fan of that film?
Dude, Miles Morales is my top 5 favorite characters, and he's my favorite Spider-Man.
Well,
I dress up as him.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you know, but that movie was phenomenal, and I think for the most part, universally loved, and people were extremely excited for a sequel to be coming out later this year. Well, guess what? We're going to have to wait a little bit, as Sony has bumped Spider-Verse Part 1 into March of 2023, with Part 2 coming out June of 2024. But even more bizarre about this, Kat, and I can't quite figure this out, and this is yet another Sony desperate to keep the Spider-Man license, so they're just grabbing any Spider-Man character they can to do things. They are doing a Madam Web movie in July of 2023.
I haven't even seen that, really.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Why? Is this going to be animated? Is it going to tie into maybe some of the Spider-Verse stuff? Or is it going to be its own separate thing?
That could make sense if you tie it into the Spider-Verse, because Madam Web is very famous with Spider-Man, and making the whole, the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon where they had Madam Web and all the other Spider-Man from other universes. So that could work. Maybe thinking something along those lines. But I hadn't seen anything about a Madam Web cartoon, movie for cartoon.
Yeah, I don't know if it's live action or if it's going to be animated. No idea on this, but I'm like, okay, they're stretching for some Spider-Man characters to get the license.
They're holding on to that nut as hard as they can, but they just got to get rid of it, man. Just do other stuff.
I got to say, the worst thing that happened was Venom being successful.
I have to agree.
So, I'm going to throw I want to throw out one other note, because it involves one of our more predominant MCU actors, Brie Larson. She announced while I was during tax season, and I haven't had a chance to talk about it because our schedule's been so busy that we haven't done a culture clash in a while, but I wanted to get your thought on this. She's actually going to be part of the 10th Fast and Furious movie. She's been announced as part of the cast for that.
I saw that, yeah.
So interesting casting for that. That franchise is what I would probably consider the fifth tentpole franchise outside of the MCU, Star Wars, Star Trek, and a couple of others. But that's Fast and Furious is one of the main franchises of modern cinema.
Yeah.
They're bringing in everybody. Momoa is going to be in that one as well. So Jason Momoa is going to be
really?
In that film.
I didn't hear that. I knew Brie Larson was. I heard that she signed. I heard that they're thinking of changing the logo of the FF logo.
Yeah.
And possibly changing the name of it as well to something else.
So it might not be
Fast and the Furious anymore. It might just be Fast or Fast. Furious. Or...
Yeah. Well, I think there might be other reasons why they're changing the FF logo
too.
But that's going to wrap up. That's going to wrap up the news section here, which means it's time to get into our main topic, which is of course episode 4 of Moon Knight titled Tomb. And, you know, we do things a little bit differently here because we are an MCU podcast, and that means we don't do segments, we don't do countdowns, we don't do any of that crazy stuff. We do phases because that's the way it rolls in the MCU. So without further ado, let's hop into phase 1. Now, of course, before we get into any of the information we talk about with these phases... That is right. You have been spoiler alerted. We are going to be diving deep into this episode of Moon Knight. So deep, in fact, there might be hippos involved in this episode of True Believers, which is something I never thought I would say in my life, but here we are.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah, that's very deep. So, of course, phase 1 around here, we are going to talk about the plot description and our first reactions and some general comments about the cast. But first, let's give you a little... first and foremost, if you have not seen episode 4 of Moon Knight, what's wrong with you? And go ahead, go watch it, come back, join us, and we're going to do right now a little rehash of what happens in episode 4. So Grant and Layla find a deserted campsite at the location of Amit's tomb, which is a maze in the shape of the Eye of Horus. They discover that some of Harrow's men have been killed by undead Egyptian priests, which then attack them. That was ugly, by the way. Layla defeats the priest, but encounters Harrow, who claims that Spectre was one of the mercenaries who murdered her archaeologist father, Abdullah El-Faloui. Grant and Spectre find the tomb and discover that Amit's last avatar was Alexander the Great. They retrieve Amit's Ushabti from inside Alexander's body. Layla angrily confronts Spectre, who reveals that his partner killed Layla's father and Spectre himself before Khonshu revives Spectre as his avatar. Harold arrives and shoots Spectre, who wakes up in a psychiatric hospital populated by people from his life. After escaping from Harold, who appears as a therapist at the hospital, Spectre finds Grant in a separate body trapped in a sarcophagus. They also see a second sarcophagus with someone else trapped inside before being greeted by a hippopotamus-headed figure. Okay, Kat. First of all, we went from Tomb Raider or the Mummy in this episode to way off the rails. And if you talk to a lot of... Yeah, you talk to a lot of people, they're getting really thrown by this. If you are a fan of the Moon Knight comics, especially some of the more modern run around 2014, you understand exactly what the heck is going on, except maybe for the hippopotamus, but we are going to discuss that too, because that's what we do at True Believers. We inform you. But Kat, I got to ask your first reactions to this episode.
In all honesty, this is not my favorite episode of the four so far. The only reason why is because everything that we saw, minus the comedy and whatnot, and the scenes that you, like you and I, we've read all these comics. We know all the information. We know what's going on. Nothing new to me in this episode, except for the hippo at the end, which was like, yeah. Wait a minute. Nothing new to me. So I actually knew everything. It was like, sort of like, am I just watching an issue I have already watched and read? What's going on? You know, I was like, there's nothing really new here. For someone who's never seen this episode, like when Kevin watches it, it'll probably be a great episode because they have no idea of the history of Moon Knight and the psychiatric ward and the, you know, everything they've done. So for me, if I give like episode 3 was a 5-star, episode 2 was a 4, episode 1 was a 4. This one I'm going to probably give a 3 for my reference number if I was going to give one. Just like, because I said, it's like watching an episode, I've already read it and I've already know it. I know what's going on. I know what's going to happen. Did I love it? Yes, I love the episode. But was it my favorite? No. This one is bottom.
I can understand that. It wasn't necessarily my favorite of the aspect of no Moon Knight in this episode. But I did like the mummy feel of it. Actually, it was like, I want to go watch the mummy now for the upteenth time. But
I actually did. I went and watched the mummy afterwards.
So I think they did a phenomenal run with that. There were some really cool things in this episode. Obviously, the twist is a huge deal, and I'm finding it very interesting to see the reactions of that on the internet and how some people are just really, really confused and angry. And I can understand in ways I can understand it.
Yeah.
I had some thoughts, and it reminded me too of an old episode of Buffy. Kat, do you remember that episode?
There's a lot of episodes.
There's an episode of Buffy where the whole episode Buffy is in an insane asylum.
Oh,
and they're trying to make it. It ends where you feel like maybe that that's the real story. She's and everything that's happening
is
Buffy
is in her mind.
Is in her mind, and they're definitely trying to play up on this. But I want, as far as my reaction, I'm with you. I'm going to say this is about a 3 out of 5 on this.
Yeah.
As far as general first reactions, I thought there were some interesting things. There's some stuff I had to even research on, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I want to go over to our good friends over at Den of Geek because they had some, of course, interesting topics when it comes to this episode in their review. So in their review, it is with mixed feelings that I digest the fourth episode of the MCU series, The Tomb. As we finally approach a proper showdown between Mark, Steven, and Arthur Harrow, we get some archaeological monster fun in the first 2/3 that immediately had me wondering why I was watching Moon Knight and not Layla El Fului Tomb Raider before Arthur killed Mark in cold blood. We'll get to that. I really liked her character in these last couple of episodes. Mark dying is nothing new for fans of the Moon Knight comics. Part of the whole Khonshu deal is that the Moon God can resurrect him if he gets into mortal danger. And that's how Mark became his avatar in the first place, as he explained. But Khonshu has now been imprisoned by the gods for his insolence. And so it's seemingly no resurrections this time. Instead, the creators of the show have taken this opportunity to adapt one of the greatest series in the character's history. Jeff Lemire and Greg Smallwood's Moon Knight, where Mark is locked up in a mental institution and has to find a way out while exploring his own mind. As he does so, he goes on a surreal cosmic journey that slowly unpacks what is real and what might be a figment of his imagination. As a comic, it's fantastic and well worth your time. But as part of this TV show, it's a sudden and wild left turn that expects the audience to go along for the ride. And that, Kat, is as far as my reaction to this article, hits the nail on the head. You are asking your audience to take an awful big leap of faith at this point.
Yeah, it's a left turn that nobody would have seen coming. Even, like I said, you and I reading the comics and knowing all the comics and have read all of them, we wouldn't have seen it coming either. But as soon as it happened, we're like, okay, we've read this comic, we know what's going on, so we can accept it. But someone like that's never read the comics or is very unfamiliar with the comics, they'd be like, what the hell? Why are we in a mental institution? What's going on? What's this? What's the whole, what's going on? What's going on? And I can see a lot of people get upset because of that, because they don't understand. Is it in his head? Is this actually Khonshu just being a dick to him? Who's going to come out with, but again, the whole hippo at the end is definitely the, whoa, wait a minute. There's no hippo at the end of the comic. What's this?
Yeah, that is the extra twist, which we're going to get to here shortly. But the thing is I can roll with, even without knowing Moon Knight, I can roll with the whole insane asylum part, considering what we're dealing with the Mark Steven Grant issue and everything like that, that yeah. it's so sudden and it's so dramatic and it's such a kick in the gut. And
yeah, it's a definite twist. It's like I said, we weren't expecting it. I mean, we were expecting it because we've seen previews and we're expecting him to see an episode where he's in a mental institution, but not to go from Indiana Jones / Tomb Raider, / The Mummy into the mental institutions. Like, whoa, that was a quick, quick movement.
I almost wished in a way they would have handled it in the aspect of at the end of this episode, they shoot him and the beginning of the episode of episode 5, we're in the mental institution.
Yeah. If they had 8 episodes, I think that's probably what they would have done. But because they only have 6, I think they sort of had to push it in a little faster. So I agree. This should have been episode 4. Should have been 2 shots to the chest and end it.
Yeah, and then fade to black.
Episode 5, he's in a hospital looking up with his chest bandaged up and like, what the hell's going on? Where am I? Then in a mental institution, that would have been a great. And then give us a mental institution episode and then the hippo at the end.
Yeah. Still the hippo at the end. Well, we'll get, and like I said, we're going to get to that. And I have my theories on why we have that character.
I do too.
Character show up. But let's talk about the cast. Obviously, we've all praised Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke. I need to talk about Meg Hamilton because she has been phenomenal the last 2 episodes and she was absolutely spectacular. She steals this episode.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
I can see why picked her.
Yeah. But I mean, even still, I'm ready to see her in her own Indiana Jones adventure. I mean, seriously, I need to see her cast in. She's definitely pulling a little bit of Rachel Wise from The Mummy in this. There's definitely some of that channeling going on. She's a little bit more action oriented, a little bit tougher, a little bit, but she definitely has a little bit of that feel going on.
She almost looks like her now that I think about it. It sort of has, same black hair, same freckles on her face.
Yeah.
I mean, she could easily reboot the whole Lara Croft Tomb Raider series. She could do it. I mean, she's spot on.
Yeah. Well, but I do like Alicia Vikander in that role, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else she can do with it. But I could definitely, if you want to do a Mummy reboot, she's my choice.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. She is my choice, and she is just spectacular in this episode and last episode. And we got to talk about it just a little bit. How interesting is it how she's playing off both personalities of Mark Spector, Stephen Grant?
I think she's learning, and I think she's trying to figure out, because she, I think, if you remember the episode, she's sort of like Stephen Grant is falling in love with her because he doesn't know who she is.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
She's sort of falling for him because he's new to her, but yet she also knows Mark. So she's like, when she needs a kick-ass partner, give me Mark. But when she needs someone that she wants to talk to and be with, give me Stephen.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing that's going on here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it later in the episode. But let's hit that. The Tesseract's building up a little power. I need to bleed off a little energy on it. So bear with me as I get us into a phase shift, as we shift into phase 2 of this episode. You okay over there, Kat? Didn't burn any hair off or anything?
it's kind of hard to burn off hair when you don't have hair to burn off.
Well, I could have sworn you had a full thing going on before this episode started, but you know, might have been that other personality I have who's imagining that.
My masks look safe, everything looks good.
Okay. All right, we have a few interesting pieces of trivia in this episode. Obviously, in this episode, Stephen/Mark discovers Alexander the Great's tomb. In real life, his tomb has never been found, and it is one of the great mysteries of ancient Egypt. This is an interesting twist, Kat, just by history standards, to have it be Alexander the Great's tomb. I wasn't quite expecting that. So I like how they are mixing in some of the more mysteries of Egypt with this.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's some diehard people, no, you can't do that. What are you doing? But you know what? It's fun. It's a comic book show. Let's enjoy the ride.
Yeah. What I found funny was that they're using Alexander the Great, but is Alexander the avatar Amit that rebelled against Amit?
Yeah, and that could very well be.
It's supposed to be 2,000 years ago, and that would be about 2,000 years ago. Maybe a little longer, but I don't know, that seems to make sense to me. So he's the one who rebelled against her and why she got entombed.
Yeah, which brings me to a point, too. There are a lot of gods that have been trapped and entombed in stone from what you saw there. I think that's going to play out before the series is over. I just call that a hunch.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, Kat, was there any trivia that you caught or any Easter eggs or anything that stood out to you? Because there's a couple of things where it looked like they were maybe trying to kind of sneakily throw in a little bit of Kang tie in there with Rama Tut and everything like that.
I had a feeling if they were going to go with Kang and Rama Tut because, and again in the comics, if you read Avengers, Kang goes back in time to Egypt and has the people worship him like a god.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kang for you, and Rama Tut, and Rama Tut's a famous Egypt icon mm-hmm. as well, so that very well could be something they're tying. And they have shown some snippets here and there with potentially tying in Kang with the Sphinxes and, you know, the pyramids. And if you watched Loki, there's the Sphinx, there's some pyramids. There's a giant Sphinx in the that other world. So,
yeah, exactly. So, well, let's hit up on the other big piece of trivia in this. And this is, of course, the hippopotamus at the end is, of course, the Egyptian god Tawaret. Protective ancient Egyptian goddess of childbirth and fertility. And I do apologize if I mispronounced that.
Yeah.
Bear with me. I'm still recovering from that IRS avatar thing. I'm still having nightmares. I think I have at least three personalities back there. I'm keeping at bay for this podcast, but little kind of another article that was on Den of Geek that kind of gives a little bit of explanation here. Moon Knight episode 4 opens with the freshly imprisoned Khonshu escorted to his resting place. As the camera zooms out, however, the audience beholds an entire wall filled with statues of trapped Egyptian gods, which we just mentioned. Moon Knight doesn't provide enough information to discern whom these naughty deities might be, but big hitters like Anubis weren't present during the episode 3's communion scene. Very good point. Suggesting they might have been placed inside the Ushanti of their own. Another possibility, here we go, Rama Tut, the Kang variant. Although he's a pharaoh, not a god, but the Ushabati statue that stands out most is in Moon Knight episode 4 opening is the small one, half as tall as every other. From Egyptian mythology, this is very likely Bes, a character also found in Marvel Comics and a one-time ally of Thor, Odin's son. Now, so we have the Egyptian goddess of childbirth and fertility, Kat.
A hippo.
I have some theories on this that I'm going to get to when we get into more of our deeper plot analysis here. But when you read this, did you have to go? I'm assuming you were like me and you went to research what the hippo was all about.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I was like, wait a minute. So I started using my computer and looking up Egypt and hippo god and WTF and Moon Knight.
Yeah, a lot of the crazy things were happening there. But yeah, I have thoughts, and we're going to get to those thoughts here shortly. But first, we're going to take a quick break to let you know what is going else around the Fandom Podcast Network. And, you know, when we come back, I can't promise which version of me is going to be here. I can't promise which version of Kat is going to be here. Heck, it could be a hippo goddess here for all we know. But before we do anything, let's tell you what else is happening on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Blood of Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with hosts Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
And we're back here on True Believers. Hopefully you're enjoying everything else that's happening around the Fandom Podcast Network as we strive to feed your ears with some great entertainment and keep you updated what's going on in the world of fandom. But it is once again time to drop back into our True Believers phases. So without further ado, let's release a little Tesseract energy and hop into phase three. Okay, that one got a little too close for comfort. Okay, both my cats still have hair. We're good. We don't have any hairless cats around here. So
I have a red bag that appeared on my counter, so I don't know what that is. I'll check it out later.
I would leave that alone. But this is where the phase three is, where we go a little bit deep diver into our plot analysis of what happened in this episode. And the first topic I want to talk about, Mr. Cat, is Moon Knight the Tomb Raider. We've talked about this all through the episode. A lot of ties to the Tomb Raider type feel, the Mummy, Indiana Jones. And this was something even the creators had said they wanted to get that Indiana Jones kind of feel going on. And the first three quarters of this episode definitely had that. But Kat, there was no Moon Knight in this episode.
No, this was definitely a Moon Raider, the Tomb Knight episode. But more with, as we said, it was more Layla and, we said earlier, she killed it, you know, literally.
She literally killed. But what I really liked too was like the figuring out of the maze and that it was the Eye of Horus. I love the mummy, the Egyptian, using the tongue to get where you need to go. I love this whole scene with that mummified Egyptian sorcerer.
That was cool. The guy
a little gruesome, a little squishy. Just gonna say.
Which is great, because that means Marvel's sort of stepping out of their comfort zones a little bit, doing a little more blood, a little more, you know, maybe they, I mean, that's going to make Multiverse of Madness even more exciting. But did you notice who that sorcerer, mummified, crematorium guy, who he was killing?
He was killing what would look like Harrow's kind of right-hand man there.
Right, but it's also the same guy who played the cop.
That's right.
He's also the orderly in this episode. He's the guy, one of the orderlies.
Yes, so you are.
They were using these guys all over the place.
Oh yeah, Harrow's got things everywhere. But from the look of it too, when you look at the jars, he was on quite the spree of collecting body parts there.
Yeah, I have a feeling that those body parts he was collecting are all of Hero's men that opened the tomb and did the whole Book of Amun-Ra, opening it up without reciting the right verse, releasing the evil, like the mummy.
Taking the wrong maze path, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
But I really like the look of it. I love the sound. The sound that it was making was what was really creepy and well done. Sound. And then the whole scene where Layla's trying to avoid him as he's sticking his hand through the wall.
Oh, yeah. That was a good jump scare when he grabs her and pulls her in. And then she comes back and he pulls her back again. He's like, oh, damn it. Don't do that. My heart is not that strong anymore.
Yeah. And of course, too, in this aspect, too, then Layla finds out the truth about her father, which basically confirms she is our Marlene character for sure in this series. Which also sets up the possibility, Kat, because I don't know if you were thinking it or not. Does the name Bushman get dropped before the series?
I was hoping it was. I was so hoping he would have said it, but he didn't. He just said, another guy I was with. I'm like, come on. That would have been a
pretty I don't know if they're holding that out or what's going on with that.
Yeah, and who knows? Could have been terrible for all we know.
Yeah. And we even get a little Stephen Grant version of Tomb Raider here, too, where we've got this kind of very naive personality, but incredibly smart. I mean, he's figuring out things. It's in aspects, it's actually better that he's in control of the body for a lot of this that's going on.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was talking to Kevin yesterday on the phone when I was driving to go somewhere, and we both had mentioned that particular, you know, Stephen. And the way they're doing it from the comics is obviously way different than what we know. But it's cool that they gave a character an Egyptian background, knowledge, so they can use that to tie in the whole Egyptian mythos and what's going on. This is from Kevin, by the way, so I'm paraphrasing Kevin. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. So that's why Stephen is the Egyptologist. Makes sense. Mark has been to Egypt before, at least in the comics we know he's been here. We know that they've now mentioned him because he was there when her father got killed, which was in Egypt. So they're sort of tying it all together, making it more. The only thing we need to see now is bring out Jake. Let's see him. Well, is he going to be the sociopath, psychopathic killer we think he's going to be from episode 2? Or is he going to be the suave, tongue-speaking cabbie that we know?
Well, and we're going to get to that. I got thoughts for this. So, but let's move on to topic 2, because this I found interesting. And, you know, I talked about it a little bit earlier with episode 3, but it was even more so in this episode. Mark and Stephen kind of working together while they both still try to make time with Layla. That makes for that was a great scene. And then him basically kind of making Stephen fall into the tomb.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact, if you notice, he sort of leaned his head back, like his eyes were doing the whole change. And then he leans forward and the left bit punches him in the face. I thought that was hilarious. And then he falls into the tomb, like you said,
But I found it very intriguing because as they're going along, they realize they need to cooperate with each other. Stephen realizes when the situation that Mark needs to take control. But Stephen is also like, no, I'm better suited for this aspect.
Yeah.
And yet what's funny is, too, you see why Layla fell for Mark. But then Stephen brings out a side of Mark or that personality that intrigues her just as much, because it's she wants the action side of Mark, but she wants the brain side that is Stephen.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. We were talking about that a little bit earlier, you and I. And it's what it seems like. It's like, because Stephen doesn't know who Layla is, well, at least from the DID standpoint. And we know why she likes Mark, because Mark is like her. You know, tomb robber slash Indiana Jones character. But now we have the intelligent side. Like, oh, wait, maybe you are more considerate, understanding. So it is interesting that whole triangle is going on with two people. I guess if you could do that, I don't know. Triangle, two, well, seven people, six people technically.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? With Mark, you never know. Which takes us to, I think topic three, which is also where we're going to really start tying into the comics, because we see it. We mentioned a little earlier that Layla now is definitely kind of is the Marlene character. And it was the first wrestler. And this episode was truly, I felt like the first reference to the classic Moon Knight origin as well. Was in this episode, but Kat, we got to talk about it. I started watching Moon Knight, and about three quarters of the way through, it took that old Bugs Bunny left turn to Albuquerque.
Yeah, it did.
Mark gets shot, fade to black, wake up. Yep, twice. Wake up, and here we are in the insane asylum. And before we get started, I'm going to go back to our friends from Den of Geek who give a little bit of an explanation for this. So, according to Den of Geek, 35 minutes into Moon Knight episode 4, The Tomb, Arthur Harrell shoots Mark and watches him sink into a golden pool of water. When Mark awakes, he finds himself in a clean white mental hospital in an unbroken one shot. The camera floats through the space, revealing many of the side characters we've seen to either be orderlies and patients, including Layla. Even worse, Arthur Harrell appears to be operating the hospital, diagnosing Mark as a suffering a mental breakdown. For the viewers of the show, the change seems to come out of nowhere. And yeah, it definitely does. But readers of the comics will recognize this shift as a direct adaptation of one of the best Moon Knight runs, issues number 1 through 14 of the 2016 series written by Jeff Lemire and artist Greg Smallwood. Personally, our biggest inspiration was the Lemire and Smallwood run director Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson tell Den of Geek. Within the pages, you turn the page and you start to see them reflect on each other in a Watchmen-esque way. Now, if you've never read this comic, first of all, go find it. If you get the Marvel Unlimited app, you can find that. I wasn't a huge fan of Greg Smallwood's art, but that's just not my personal cup of tea. But it is a mind trip.
Yeah.
14 issues, and it's crazy, but it's also one of the more interesting Moon Knight stories. And from what I've read, it was this part of the script that really sold Oscar Isaac on playing this role.
Yeah, I read that too, actually. He said that this was the part that made him feel the most like, ooh, I want to actually do this character. But like you said, the art in that issue, I'm a fan of the old school kind of artwork, you know, Taskmaster from the 60s and 70s, you know, Avengers from that era. Some of the new artwork they do, like that quick line sketching stuff, I'm like, I can't take me out of the story. The story, though, the Mindscape story, as they call it, wow. Like you said, some of the best Moon Knight series issue, limited issue run. Yeah. And it also shows the whole Mark accepting Steven, and they sort of did that in this episode as well. Mark accepting Steven when they finally meet.
Yeah.
Before the hippo.
Now, if you listen to another show here on the Phantom Podcast Network, our Union Federation show, Kevin and one of the co-hosts there, Amy Nelson, hosted that episode because I was obviously still fighting IRS assimilation and our other co-host, Haley Stoddard, was a little under the weather. But they talked about that because it's very similar to what happened in Picard this past week, where they had what Kevin likes to call a mind frel. Now, I use the word frel because I'm a big Farscape fan, because the other word is... We try to keep family friendly around here, but you can get the point of where I'm going with this episode turned into a Ryan Frell episode like that. And it messed with your head. It messed with your perspective. You're wondering what the heck is going on, but Kat, as big Moon Knight fans, there's a couple things that really stood out here. Obviously we get our first side of Hollywood Stephen Grant Stephen Grant is the star of this movie that is part of Mark Spector's Psychosis.
Yeah, that was funny. I like that tie-in.
And then, of course, Layla being a mental patient, as well as several other characters we've seen as mental patients or as orderlies in this aspect. But the big thing of this is obviously Mark making his escape, finding the first sarcophagus, opening it up, and there's Stephen Grant.
Yeah.
And hey, they're kind of real.
Did you notice what he was holding in his hand?
I caught something, but remind me.
A Moon Knight action figure.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was carrying a Moon Knight action figure.
And I'm like, I have that figure too. It's sitting in a box. But I'm like, he's holding a Moon Knight figure. That's so cool.
Yeah. So we have that. But even more interesting is they run by a third sarcophagus. And this is where the speculation is now running rapid. What is in this alert sarcophagus? Now, I think most knowledgeable new Moon Knight fans are leaning towards it's the Jake Lockie personality, mm-hmm. which they've hinted at a new person, a third personality throughout this series. If you go back and watch it, you had the personality that asked the coworker out on a date, which was neither Mark. They kind of gave you the little, oh, it was Mark who did it, but Mark's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You have the blackouts in episode 3, where neither Mark or Steven know what the heck is going on, and the person's just run roughshod. So my question is this, Kat. Obviously, there's a possibility it's Jake Lockie. We know if we're going to go by past Moon Knight stories, there's also times when Khonshu himself has taken over Mark's body. Mm-hmm. Could it be possibly Mark? Could it be Jake Lockie? Could it be Khonshu? Could it be a whole new personality for the TV series?
I'm leaning towards Jake.
I'm leaning towards Jake too, but here's my other thing. So the episode ends and we see this Greek goddess of fertility and childbirth. To me, while completely strange and out of the blue, because this never even happened in the Moon Knight comics, so this is something original for the TV series. Is she there because she's reflecting the birth of a new personality within Mark?
That's interesting. I don't think so. I think she's there because she is in league with Khonshu and wants to help Mark maybe birth a new idea or bring together a new idea, which could be Jake. We hope so. But I think she's working with Khonshu to help free him, which is why he won't die, because Khonshu can't do anything as a statue. So I'm thinking that she's going to help bring him back to life, because birth, rebirth, bringing him back to life. And then I think that's where they're leading with it. That's my thought when I saw it, and after I researched who the heck, you know, Tawaret is.
Yeah.
Besides being the hippo.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. We talked about this a little bit earlier, Kat, because it really is asking your viewer to take a pretty big leap of faith here.
Oh, absolutely.
How did, when you first saw it, when it first happened and you first reacted to it, I mean, was it like, being the comic fans we are, we kind of knew this, and we knew this was going to happen at some point in the show, but it did. Even to me, it still felt drastic. Like, whoa, okay, that happened so quick. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, like we said, this should have been an episode of its own accord. They should have stopped episode 4 with the 2 shots to the chest, go to black, wake up in hospital. The whole hippo god at the end, I was watching it, you know, sort of like, you know, this with my eyes wide open, my hand on my chin, and like, and next you know, I'm like, what the hell is the hippo doing here? Who is this hippo person? You know, why is she saying hello in a friendly manner? What? I had to rewatch the episode that last few minutes again. Like, did I miss something? Did they pass some hippo thing? I did, however, remember, though, that they mentioned her in the first episode, too, which when they're looking at all the plushy toys, he's like, oh, yeah, that's
all the hippos.
And I'm like, oh. So they sort of brought it full
circle. We also got our good friend the goldfish back in this episode too, in those sequences.
Yeah.
So again, it reminded me a lot of that Buffy episode too, where again, Buffy, they try to play the mind twist of, you is Buffy, what's happening with Buffy real? Is it just somebody lost in a mental breakdown? It's always fun to play that, but it's a dangerous game too, because it's, you could really upset your viewing base there, and really, because
which is why people are so upset.
Yeah, and I think with Moon Knight, you have leeway to get away with this.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how they execute it in the next episode, which to me is the cue to let a little bit more Tesseract power out. It is time to move into Phase 4, our final thoughts of this week's episode and the predictions for next week. They can go a lot of different places, but Kat, let's hit it up with your final thoughts first on episode 4, Tomb, because it was different.
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't my favorite, but it was a good episode. Very Mummy, Indiana Jones, Tomb Raider for the first 3 quarters, which was fun to watch. A lot more bloodier than any other Marvel TV show or movie, for that matter, that I can think of off the top of my head right now. And then the whole psychiatric mindscape. Would you call it mind what?
Mind frow. Mind frow. Mind frack.
Mindfowl. So, I mean, like I said, I'm hoping that the next episode is going to be like just jamming and continuing on the like leading up, still in the mental institution, talking to the hippo, finding what's going on, maybe releasing Jake because they need all three parts of his conscious to work together, and then wham, right into the temple, free Khonshu, Moon Knight versus Harrow at the end.
Yeah. There's a lot of different directions we can go here. First of all, my final thoughts on this week's episode. I think this is going to go down as the most talked about episode of the series. I truly do. I think this is the episode that is going to stand out because let's be honest, Kat. I think there hasn't been an episode with this much of a twist since WandaVision came out.
I don't think so. I don't even remember WandaVision being that much of a twist comparatively to this. This is like WandaVision's out in the outpost. This was like beyond the fence.
Yeah, well, I mean, with WandaVision, we knew there was going to be that mystery to it, but with Moon Knight, like I said, this was a left field that, unless you watched the trailers or were familiar with the comic, you knew, you had no idea it was coming. And again, this was the episode I think the creative minds of Moon Knight and the actors were the most excited about, because they said they wanted to get that Indiana Jones feel into Moon Knight, which they definitely did in this episode. But the act, again, this was the episode, this is the script that both got really Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke really on board with this series. For Ethan, he had already agreed to do the series. He did without reading any of the scripts, just based off of some things he was told. Then once he read this script for this episode, he was all in without any doubt. But yeah, this episode definitely, I'm going to put it up there with some of the episodes of WandaVision where you just had some what the heck was going on, and the season finale of Loki, as far as just going to have you talking.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Just lots of discussion on this, really working the brain, things like that. As for next episode, I think the wild ride that we are been on for the last quarter of this episode continues, because I think a good chunk of this is still in the insane asylum, because it's going to be dealing with Mark and his personalities,
yeah,
including whoever is in that third sarcophagus, and probably Khonshu at some point. And I agree with you. I think by the end of the episode, we get a rebirth of Moon Knight, and maybe in a way where the personalities have either come to peace with each other and work together, or maybe even an integration of everything into one. It's hard to say at this point.
I hope they don't do that. I don't want to see them all become one person. I like the other
split
side
aspect of it. I agree. I think we see Moon Knight. I think we see Mr. Knight. I think we get a bit of everything with episode, which is going to lead into the final confrontation in episode 6 between Harrow and Moon Knight.
Did you watch last week's episode? And I was talking about the mask.
Oh, the mask for Mr. Knight is so amazingly well
done. Well, yeah. I said why I think it's fractured. It's because Steven Mind is fractured with Mark Spector. So I wonder if they're going to keep it that way. Or maybe when they show acceptance between Mark and Steven, that will they get rid of that scar? Or will that scar...
I think it's iconic for the Mr. Knight character.
And the funny thing is, I was not a fan of it when I first saw it. I'm like, give me my white mask with the little moon symbol. But now that I've been watching Moon Knight and I've been watching Mr. Knight, I'm like, you know, that's actually grown on me. I like that. Keep the scar now. So
yeah,
my cosplay is going to have the scar now that I think about it.
Going into next week, I think everybody just be prepared, because throw your brain away, because you're going to get confused. You're going to get lost. And that's part of the ride for next week's episode. Just turn your brain off. Let it take you the direction. One of the points I want to bring up, Kat, and I'm curious, I don't know if you ever watched the show or not. A lot of people were comparing also what happened in this episode of Moon Knight to the X-Men show Legion, which was on FX a few years back. Legion was very much like this. And Legion was a show most people had a love-hate relationship with. So yeah. I'm curious to see how far they're willing to push this envelope.
Yeah, they did the whole Mindscape thing with that Legion. And was it all in his mind, or was it really? And was he in this? So yeah, it's very Legion-esque. And I've seen a lot of other videos like you. I watch a lot of YouTube. And I saw a lot of correlation to the episode to Legion. Are they going to go a Legion route? I don't think so. I think this will be this episode, I think next episode will be the last time they actually mention the Mindscape mental institution episodes. So, but we'll see. Maybe season two, we'll go back to it. Who knows? And there better be a season
if we
two.
Get it. If we get a season two, because
there better be a season two.
Well, that piece of news we should have talked about was kind of close out with this, that Moon Knight and Hawkeye are both limited series runs. Yeah. But I do think these characters are going to show up again. I think there's still a little question with Moon Knight because Oscar Isaac is very much not wanting to get trapped into any one character. I think his experience as Poe Dameron really kind of soured him on that franchising, and it took something like this Moon Knight script to bring him in. Yeah. I don't necessarily think we see Moon Knight interacting completely ever with the full MCU thing. I could see a little bit of Marvel Knights, him making an appearance in an episode or something like that, but I don't think you're ever going to see Moon Knight like avenging it up and standing there with a team of Avengers either.
West Coast Avengers.
Oh. We'll see how that plays out, but I'm excited. Yeah, well, hey, you know what?
He did lead the West Coast Avengers when Moon Knight joined them. So just saying. Yeah,
that's true. So now, Kat, as we close out, this is usually about the point of the show where I would award Kevin Excelsior points.
Oh yeah, he gave me some last week.
I gave him some last week. He banked him, but you know the guy is getting married, Kat, and I need your help. I very much need your help with this. I have decided this week, and I don't know if Kevin's going to get the chance to listen to this podcast before his nuptials. I am awarding Kevin 10 Excelsior points. What? Which is a lot of Excelsior points. But there's a reason for this, Kat. Our good friend Kevin is getting married. Hmm. And come on, he's getting married in Vegas, which means he's got to look the part.
Uh-huh.
So I made a few phone calls. I was the avatar of the IRS for a couple of weeks, and you know, you can make some connections. You may not like it, but you do make some connections. I made some phone calls. I pulled into my private stash of Excelsior points. I need you to deliver Kevin the Mr. Knight costume to wear at his wedding.
I could probably make that happen.
I'm not sure Aaron's good. The whole when you kiss the bride thing is going to work too well with the mask. But Aaron, knowing Aaron, she might just roll with it anyway. So,
or she'll plunge a knife into his back, one of the two.
Well, that or it's just going to be an egg going to pop out and then chaos is going to ensue. So that's probably the most likely scenario. But seriously, Kevin, from everybody here at True Believers, we love you, man. We love you, Aaron. You're going to have a great wedding. This is long overdue. You deserve this happiness, my friend. So do you, Aaron. And, you know, Kat, just remember, you got to give one hell of a speech. You are the best man.
I have an idea for my speech, and I'm going to wing it. And I think I have a good plan for it. So we will see. I'm sure it'll be recorded. I'm sure people on Facebook will see it. And I'm sure I will turn redder than my camera is making me look right now in my own room. But it'll be a doozy.
The rumor is that he will break out into some kind of funky English accent about halfway through. I'm just saying.
Don't worry, I'll fix that. I'll bring my little hammer with me.
Okay. Pop him on the head. No, you just need your little pocket mirror, and all will be good.
Yeah. Yeah. There's two things I wanted to mention. I forgot to mention them earlier when we were talking about Marvel stuff, and I just wanted to throw it out there. Are you feeling in these episodes any feeling of like Black Panther type? Because you know how everything is doing the upside down, like in Black Panther when Eric Killmonger walked into the throne room, it was upside down, and then it rotated the right side up. This episode had that same beginning. If you noticed, it was upside down, and then.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't really thinking Black Panther. I was just thinking more of the internal insanity that is Moon Knight.
I was thinking Black Panther. That's where I went. And we talked about Doctor Strange. I forgot to mention one thing there. I wanted to mention it. I spaced my mind to it right now. You saw the logo. Yeah. You know, the logo, the Marvel Studio logo. Did you look under the logo by any chance?
You know what? I probably need to go back and rewatch it because my brain.
Right at the bottom. Two eyes, a smiling, like, sort of string of teeth. But it is definitely. You're not,
don't say it. Don't say it, Kat. Don't say it. Don't say the M word.
Oh, no. I wasn't going to say the M word. Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. No.
Nightmare.
I think that's a very
disappointing possibility. I still say he's going to be the bad guy in this film. Or the bad guy.
Or I do think Nightmare. I agree with you there. I think Nightmare is going to be a very distinct possibility. And we're going to have a lot of... I think we're going to have a multiverse of podcasters to cover everything that's going to be happening in that film. So be on standby.
Yeah, I will. Did you also... I don't know if you noticed the opening trailer sequence was different too this time. The music was different.
Yeah.
Marvel... And did you notice Doctor Strange wasn't there doing this? Mm-hmm. But it was the six-armed Doctor Strange.
Well, of course, I have a big feeling that this movie is going to be a lot more Scarlet Witch than anybody realizes.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. But I can't wait.
Yeah, no. I'm excited. I got my ticket. I'm opening night, ready to go.
I can't. They wouldn't do it here. I don't know why. But as soon as it opens up, I will be there. Well, I say bells on, but I'd probably be wearing a Spider-Man costume or something instead. Who knows what I'll be doing? But I will be there.
Well, I'm just...
I can't wait.
I've got the ticket for the Dolby Atmos Theater, Kat, so you know I'm going to be getting the full sound and digital experience for that. But I'm excited. Trust me, we are going to be covering Multiverse of Madness in all of its multiversal ways when that time comes. We still got two more episodes of Moon Knight left, and it's about to get... You thought it got crazy now? Wait till episode 5.
Oh, can't wait, Kat, man.
Thanks for coming on and helping me fill in while Kevin's away. Hopefully we're going to see you next week for episode 5, because I think that's going to be one for the ages as far as things to talk about.
I'm hoping so, man. Barring my own vacation.
In the meantime, just remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No. Except for any filming you do of the wedding. That's we need True Believer exclusive around here.
I'll see if I can bribe the photo guys for other exclusive photos.
I don't mean super exclusive, but you know what I mean. But to all of our listeners out there, as always, thank you for listening in as we try to educate you on what's going on in the MCU. And until next episode, True Believers, we just want to say thank you. We will Excelsior. We will see you next time. And until then, make ours Marvel.